Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
We need all lawmakers at all levels of government to ensure that the right to choose abortion is upheld for all who seek that choice. We choose life, life with choice, choice about giving birth or not, choice of one's conscience. We choose the right to decide about pregnancy because lives are at stake.
I believe in abortion on demand and without apology.
The reality is that abortion has always been available, and it will remain available even if Roe is overturned for the affluent.
Today, as the U.S. Supreme Court heard Mississippi's case to ban abortion after 15 weeks and potentially overturn Roe, Oregon faith leaders held a press conference at Congregation Beth Israel to publicly denounce Mississippi's law and other state bans. In this multi-faith gathering, speakers included prominent leaders in Jewish and Christian communities. In a press release for the conference, Planned Parenthood advocates of Oregon lambasted states for passing abortion bans, including neighboring states like Idaho. The advocacy organization writes, quote, "If states like Idaho are allowed to ban abortion, studies show that Oregon health centers would see a 234% increase in out-of-state patients forced to travel long distances for care. And even though abortion is protected in Oregon statute, eastern Oregonians could see up to a 35% decrease in abortion access because of the longer travel burden," end quote. Oregon faith leaders who spoke today warn that the consequences of these restrictive and even punitive laws will disproportionately impact Black, Brown, and Indigenous people, the LGBTQ plus community, people with low incomes, and those living in rural areas. Now, here are some of those speakers, including Pastor Morgan Schmidt, Senator and Reverend Dr. Deb Patterson, Reverend I. Lee Lowry, and Reverend Dr. Chuck Curry.
We've been given this false choice, a dichotomy that really isn't true and only causes harm. We're told it's us or them, it's either or. You're to pick a side, pick a party. Held captive by this divisive rhetoric. Pro-choice, pro-life. Too often, it comes down to just this one issue for some people. Just one issue. We even have a phrase for it, right? One issue voters. If you're pro-woman or pro-mother, you must be against babies. If you're pro-baby, you must be against women and mothers. It has become so much less about actual human beings, actual people, our actual neighbors, and so much more about this singular topic, this one issue vote, these one issue voters. I'm a pastor, and I happen to be a candidate for Deschutes County Commissioner. And when people ask me why are you doing this? I say, to me, the work is the same. And this work is about love. And it's about what love looks like in the public sphere and how we love our neighbors in the way that we build our communities together. It's not a conditional sort of love or a rom-com kind of love, but a deep, unconditional commitment to loving people just as they are and affirming the dignity and moral autonomy of every person. It takes us beyond the us versus them and allows us to weave love into how we create community and how we meet people as fellow human beings. And if abortion is healthcare, which I believe it is, and healthcare is a human right, which I believe it is, and if human rights are ways we can love our neighbors, then what could be closer to the gospel than protecting access to abortion and reproductive care? What could be closer? This is a yes and, not an either or. And I confess I had hoped, maybe naively, that Roe was a steady yes for all time, an unassailable, true foundation from which we could build many ands. and of universal child care, and of accessible, affordable health care, the and of living wage jobs and sustainable housing and a place for everyone, the ands of racial justice, LGBTQ equity, and beyond. And it weighs on me heavily that today there is reason to fear that our yes might crumble along with our ands. It weighs heavily upon me that so many are scared today, and that feeling goes unnoticed and uncared for by those who consider this simply an issue. Reproductive justice should be an unassailable human right. It should be an untouchable yes. We must fight to reclaim and enshrine into law that goes beyond religious dogma, reproductive rights, and bodily autonomy for every person. And if we must have one issue, may that one issue be a deep and real love for our actual neighbors, our real neighbors, not just the ones that look like us or believe like us or vote like us, but our neighbors, women, those who can bear children.
I believe in the separation of church and state, in both my separate roles as a clergy person and as an elected official. I am convinced that the 51% of the population which bears the physical responsibility for pregnancies should not bear the undue burden of being forced to carry a pregnancy to term unless that is the choice of the person who is going to bear that child. We need to reduce child poverty, make housing and healthcare more affordable, put childcare costs on a sliding scale, or even better, make it free, and have maternity and paternity leave that actively supports families. Just like the COVID-19 vaccine does not prevent every breakthrough infection, contraception available today does not prevent every pregnancy. Some who find themselves unexpectedly pregnant are willing and able to give birth to and raise a child, a relationship that usually lasts until the end of the parent's days.
My name is Reverend Ailey Lowry, and I am a United Methodist clergy person serving the Southeast Portland Parish. I also serve on the Portland Public School Board. This morning, as I was driving, I listened to the opening arguments before the Supreme Court in Dobbs v. Jackson. One thing that the first attorney said struck me. He said that abortion is a divisive issue and that it has done damage to our republic. In part, abortion is a divisive issue because of theology around what abortion is. Abortion is healthcare. Abortion is a simple medical procedure. Abortion is a decision made by people who can become pregnant and their families, communities, and medical providers. So often throughout history, we have seen governments, religious institutions, and the systems of society working to use morality, theology, and other coded language to marginalize and oppress women, poor folks, people of color, and persons who identify as LGBTQIA. And we see once again how bans on abortion, restrictions in access to reproductive health care, serve to oppress and marginalize. I believe that God calls us to a just and equal society. God calls me as a person of faith to advocate for the liberty and wholeness of others. Unrestricted access to abortion is essential to this. I believe in abortion on demand and without apology. You see, I have walked with many, many people as they've discerned their reproductive choices. And I have been with many people who have chosen abortion. But a foundational story from me comes from two friends of mine, both within a few months of one another, who found out that their late-term pregnancies were not viable. The babies would not survive long after birth. One of my friends chose to end her pregnancy. She wanted to begin her grieving. She wanted to end the suffering of her child and to make sure there was no potential suffering. And so she had an abortion. My other friend chose to carry the fetus to full term so that she could hold her baby while she died. Both grieved, and both women celebrated the medical professionals who supported them in these loving, holy decisions. How dare I or anyone else think that they could make the choices for either of these women in their late-term abortion choices? Our country is built on this premise of liberty, on an idea of privacy, on this narrative of freedom. And the right to choose abortion is in keeping with both these foundational values of the United States and the deep love of a God that calls each of us to discern and choose and to live our lives always seeking justice for all people. No matter what the court decides on this matter, we as people of faith must always work for justice. We must strive to ensure comprehensive reproductive care for all people. You see, safe legal abortion is supported by the vast majority of Americans. But there is so much fear and shame around talking about or advocating for abortion. As I was on my way here this morning, I told the barista at Starbucks what I was doing, and her quote was, "That's sick. I'm so glad you're doing that." And yet I'd been afraid to tell her where I was going. Why? To change the narrative, to change the fear, to change some of the shame that Dana talked about, we have to speak up and tell our stories. As people who fight for justice, we must support our partners like Planned Parenthood and the ACLU who are here, and others like Pro-Choice Oregon. These folks work tirelessly on our behalf for justice. We must talk about abortion in our communities and continue to prioritize the freedom of choice and the creation of a world that fulfills God's dream for us all. May it be so, no matter what the court does, may it be so that we are people of justice and faith.
My name is Reverend Dr. Chuck Curry, and I'm a minister in the United Church of Christ. As a minister in the United Church of Christ, I recently marched with other pro-choice advocates in Portland. In my ministry, I have counseled parishioners and students to consider all of their options, including abortion, when considering reproductive health. Few issues are more controversial, and while many maintain that you cannot be both pro-choice and Christian at the same time, here is why I hold that you can be a pro-choice Christian. In fact, many Christian bodies are pro-choice. A pro-choice is consistent, a pro-choice position is consistent with Christian ethics. As the United Church of Christ has long maintained, Jesus affirmed the moral agency of women, and we should do the same by making sure that women can make all of their own choices when it comes to reproductive health. But today, in Texas and elsewhere, there has been a full-fledged war launched on Roe v. Wade, the 1973 Supreme Court decision that guarantees the right of women to safe abortion services. Many politicians involved in this effort, in fact, claim their Christian faith as the driving force in their push to outlaw abortion. Returning the United States to a pro-Roe v. Wade period will not end abortion. It will merely return abortions to back alleys where women will risk their health and lives. How could that be considered pro-life? For those who generally see the abortion debate as one regarding life, I would urge that we set aside the political attacks on Roe v. Wade and find common ground. Many faith people from all different backgrounds reject the charged and sometimes hateful rhetoric involved with the abortion debate. These folks see the good in family planning and supportive services for women and children. So let's refocus our attention in that area and away from these legal attacks. In the meantime, we must oppose laws that limit a woman's access to health care. And for those of us who are clergy, we have to pledge that if Roe v. Wade is struck down by the courts, that we will do what clergy did in the pre-Roe v. Wade times, which is to help women continue to find safe abortion services, regardless of legality. Thank you.
This is Claire Rosciotto with KBOO Evening News.